حبيب إله رب العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائمة على آدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم الكتاب المجيد: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليه نعمتي. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلاة على محمد وعلى محمد. Greetings and felicitations to the Imam of our time on this great occasion, on the Eid of Ghadir, which is the really Eid of all Eid from all of us. Greetings and felicitation to my dear brothers and sisters, to my seniors, to all of the lovers of Ahl Bayt alayhimus salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and increase in the love of Ahl Bayt for them and for all of us. Indeed, a very blessed and happy occasion. However, when the news comes from the shuhada of Hajj, it really breaks our heart. Apparently, the numbers have reached 5,000. And some of the witnesses who came back from Hajj were mentioning bodies were bulldozed. Some of them were still alive, but they were all put in big sort of, like a big chip, what do you call these? Containers, big containers on top of each other, and they locked those containers, the heat, and those who were still alive, they obviously died in these containers. Now that the loved ones and different countries are claiming their bodies back, so they are opening these containers and giving these bodies. So it's very unfortunate to really, in this era, which is so advanced, you know, and a nation that is full of money, such a rich nation, you know, and on the other hand, the mismanagement that we have seen, it is quite, you know, a shame. It's quite, you know, embarrassing at the same time that who call themselves as the Khuddam of Haramain and Sharifain, and they who kind of representing Islam in this fashion, which kind of points out to their ill intention of giving bad name to Islam and making these rituals as difficult as possible for the people, for the Muslimin, so that people, they fear, so that people point fingers on these rituals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haste the reappearance of our 12th Imam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and tawfiq that we carry out the message of Ghadir, the teachings of Ahl Bayt in our life, inshallah. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I will be looking at the historical aspect of Ghadir, and I will be asking questions and answering them, so that the fathers who are here, they could ask their children, what did Mawlana say about this question? First and foremost, the khutbah of Ghadir, which is very important. And many of us are unaware of this khutbah, the importance of this khutbah, and how it is important that we remind us and remind our children about this khutbah. Khutbah means a sermon, a speech given by the Prophet on the day of Ghadir. How authentic is this khutbah? How authentic is this speech or sermon of the Prophet? This sermon is considered to be one of the last sermons of the Prophet, one of the last speech of the Prophet. This sermon is considered as a wasiyat of the Prophet. This sermon is considered to be the sermon which the Prophet paid the most importance, and he has asked Muslims to transfer this sermon generation after generation. He made sure that they do that. This sermon, Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Has been recorded in 9 books, 5 books quoting our 5th Imam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam. Three books quoting Zayd ibn Arqam, and one book quoting Huzaifa, was one of the companion of the Prophet, Zayd ibn Arqam, companion also known to be the son of the Prophet as well. However, he wasn't the son. So, 9 books quoting this, and many of the traditions that come about in this sermon, such as the tradition of Saqalain, has been overwhelmingly quoted in the books of Ahl Tasannun, which records up to 70,000 books that have quoted this hadith, Saqalain of the Prophet, which is in the sermon itself. So the authenticity of this sermon is intact. You know, there is no doubt in terms of the authenticity of the sermon. That was the first question. The second is, why Prophet chose the declaration of Ghadir to be in Makkah or after Hajj? Why not in Makkah itself while the Hajj was going on? Or why not in Medina? Obviously, Hajj is a place, or Hajj is an activity or a ritual where all Muslims gather. So it's a very important place where all Muslims come, as we see today as well. And this, it is the place to deliver the message. And Prophet chose that opportunity. Allah wanted it to be that way. Medina, indeed, wasn't possible. Nevertheless, Prophet have overwhelmingly mentioned in regards to the Khilafat, in regards to the Imamat, in regards to the leadership of Hazrat Ali alayhi salam in Medina over and over again. You know, basically, Ghadir was to seal, to stamp the wilayat of Amirul Mumineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. For those people who it was not clear. For many people it was very clear from the very beginning. There was no need. But it was such a clear message in the declaration of Ghadir so that nobody should doubt. That's why Prophet chose it to be the season of Hajj. And then why not during the Hajj? Why not in Arafah? Why not in other sort of, in Makkah itself? Prophet's first Hajj and Prophet's last Hajj. 70,000 people accompanied the Prophet from Medina to travel. Prophet is the one who have brought the ahkam of Hajj, the rules of Hajj. And Prophet is showing this ahkam of Hajj. So obviously people are focusing in regards to the ahkam and the importance of ahkam. This required a special sort of time frame where Prophet could announce that, the declaration of Ghadir. And nevertheless, you know, the baqa or the remnants of these ahkam sits upon that final declaration where Prophet once again reminded them all. Never, Prophet in, okay, did the Prophet announce the Imamat and the Khilafat of Amirul Mumineen only in the ground of Ghadir, or did he announce before as well? As we said, in Medina many times, but in this Hajj season, in Mina, after Arafah, after the performance of Hajj, when the Hujjaj are in Mina, Prophet gave a sermon in Mina. And in this sermon, Prophet invited them, reminded them of the security and the stability of the state, informed them of the rights of people, the right of law, and eventually informed them about the Imamat of Amirul Mumin, the leadership of Hazrat Amir after the Prophet and his Khilafat. That was one. In Masjid Khif, also Prophet gave a sermon, a speech, in which, once again, he asked people for sincerity in action. He asked people for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Day of Judgment and the hereafter, and eventually informed them of the wilayat of Amirul Mumineen and the Khilafat of Amirul Mumineen and the leadership of Amirul Mumineen. While doing so, he also mentioned the Hadith of Saqalain there. After that, the third event, which is in Ghadir, which is called the ground, which is called Ghadir, when all of the Hajj was finished, Prophet passed the verdict, you could say. Prophet asked them, everyone should leave Makkah. No one should remain except those who are disabled. But each and every Haji who have come, they should all leave. This is was the command of the Prophet, so they all left Makkah. Prophet, he himself did not stay there. Although, as Prophet was preparing for this, as we had mentioned this morning as well in the Sermon of Jummah, that Prophet went to Makkah three times. In the year of 8 Hijrah for Umrah, where still it was under the restrictions of Sulh Hudaybiyah, so he did not stay in Makkah, he left right away. Prophet went in for Umrah on the 8th, and the 9th was the Hajj. And on the 8th, he went for Umrah as well. Prophet, whenever he goes for Umrah, he would take a company, a wife with him. But when he came for this Hajj, he was accompanied with all of his wives. He was accompanied with Siddiqa Kubra, Fatimatu Zahra, Salamullah Alayha. He was accompanied with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam as well. So he brought the whole family. So this is something very unique. This is something very special. And then he sent the message to Hazrat Amir, who was in Yemen. And then Hazrat Amirul Mumineen also came, and about 70,000 Yemenis also joined the Hajj or Amirul Mumineen, and they came to the Prophet. So now Prophet, after Khif, finally he asked everyone to leave Makkah. Everybody came out of Makkah, and he asked Bilal to announce and call people who have gone further. He asked Salman as well, that the famous sentence that we recite, Hayya ala khayril amal, in Azan, that was given by the Prophet to Salman to announce it. So when we are reciting Hayya ala khayril amal, it's a declaration and announcement and a reminder of Wilayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Oh. And then he asked to prepare a pulpit, a minbar, of stones and the saddles of a camel. And the height of this pulpit was the height of the Prophet. So if you want to take between 5 foot to 6 foot, basically, right? That huge, that big sermon on which Prophet stood. And he asked Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam to accompany him as well. And there he started and delivered that sermon, which is known as the Sermon of Ghadir, which is the most famous sermon. And this declaration, he said that this is for all mankind, because the wilayat of Hazrat Amir is for all jinn and ins, for every human being, for every jinn and every creature that exists. It is for everybody, and he made sure he mentioned that. And that's how the khutbah starts, with Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, rather than only Muslims. The khutbah starts with O people. And there he started reminding them of the message of him being a messenger and the message that he has delivered. And the people accepted that. 120,000 or more, historians have recorded, people were there attending. Scorching heat. It was hot. It was very hot. People were placing their clothes on their head, and some were placing the clothes under their feet so that they cannot bear the heat. And it was a very long sermon, while knowing the Prophet, who is so caring, who is so kind, but he made sure that he delivers this sermon. He made sure that everybody is there. He made the pulpit so high that everybody could see. And not only that, finally, when he reaches to that point where that declaration he has to give, which is Man Kuntu Mawla Fahaza Aliyan Mawla, he raised Amirul Mumineen. He raised the hand, both of the hands of Amirul Mumineen. Some tradition says he lifted Amirul Mumineen, and he showed each and every individual. Not only that, he asked them to accept and give bayah, pay allegiance publicly as well. That he is the Khalifa, you know, this is the message of God. Do you accept? They all nodded, they accepted it. And then after that, obviously, there was allegiance being paid individually, but in public as well. By lifting Hazrat Amir, he pointed out to them, everybody accepted it. And after that as well, you have publicly people lining up, people queuing up, and they all give bayah, including men and ladies as well. You know, he asked to bring a pot, a big pot in which he put water in there. The ladies, they're putting the hand on one side, Hazrat Amir and the Prophet on the other side, and this is how they gave bayah to Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, that they accepted the wilayat. He made sure that each and every individual accept the wilayat and the khilafat and the imamat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Certain very unique events unfolded in the last Hajj of the Prophet to Prophet himself. Number one, that was Jibreel attended to the Prophet and informed the Prophet that this is your last Hajj. Number two, he informed the Prophet that all of the belongings that have been handed to you from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, because every Prophet superseded the other Prophet. I mean, this itself becomes the foundation of acceptance of the Khilafat and Imamat. That when in Quran you are seeing one Prophet giving the amanat that God have given him to the other Prophet. This has continued with those who were the, you know, owners of the leadership after the Prophet. Now, how can Prophet leave all of these amanat just with no one? How can that be possible at all? This itself could be one of the proof that the Prophet gives all of the amanat from the Prophets to Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. Number two. Number three, he addressed all of the people that from today and now on, you should call Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam Amirul Mumineen. You should address him as Amirul Mumineen. And that's what we see in history. Continuously, those traditions or those incidents and events that praise or that happen in the praise of Ahl-e Bayt alayhim salam to establish the leadership and the authenticity of Ahl-e Bayt alayhim salam, those who were the enemies have tried to conspire and, you know, make false traditions. Like, for example, this usage of the name of Amirul Mumineen, which was particularly to Hazrat Ali alayhi salam and no one else. But they made it common that whoever comes or becomes the king or the khalifa, which they, you know, have it, they should call Amirul Mumineen, so that it would nullify or it would kind of make the title, which is of Hazrat Ali alayhi salam, sort of a low caliber, right? Some people have recorded in their books of their leaders that I have given so many rings in ruku, but not one ayah came in my praise. But Amirul Mumineen gave a ring while a beggar comes to the masjid while he was doing ruku. The ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed that, you know, the wali of Allah, innama waliyakumullah wa rasule, the wali of Allah and the Rasul is the one who performs ruku and who gives zakat while doing ruku. Just one action of Amirul Mumineen. Because Quran is nothing but, you know, the actions of Ahl-e Bayt alayhi salam. And the actions of Ahl-e Bayt alayhi salam is nothing but Quran. They are not separated from each other. They are one thing. The actions of Ahl-e Bayt is recorded in the Quran. And the actions of the Ahl-e Bayt is the Quran itself. So here, three things happen, and many happen. The three most famous is that those amanat, those belongings which belongs to the Prophets from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Prophet gave it to Amirul Mumineen, and that passed on. The second thing was Prophet made sure that everybody call Hazrat Ali alayhi salam Amirul Mumineen. And number three, the event was that where the Prophet was informed that, you know, this is your last Hajj. And the declaration of Ghadir is something that is necessary because Prophet was afraid to announce that people might think that he is choosing or he is being favorite towards his son-in-law. He is favoring son-in-law. And he's starting a new kingship as such. So Prophet was avoiding that. Obviously, this this tells us what sort of personality the Prophet had. The Prophet was very careful, very humble, that he does not want any sort of association of his nafs, so to speak, you know, in this declaration of Ghadir. Although it was very clear, as a human being, as we said, someone who is favoring someone, one wants to return that favor. From that very childhood, Amirul Mu'minin was protecting the Prophet. Every stone that they used to throw, Amirul Mu'minin would go in front of it and try to protect it. In all the battles, Hazrat Ali was protecting the Prophet, fought for it, there was no one. So in return, you know, as an insaniyat, as a humanity, as a token, one would say that, okay, after me, right? In terms of knowledge, in terms of strength, there wasn't any sort of anything remain that will not allow the Prophet to choose Amirul Mu'mineen as the leader. But still Prophet avoided. Then finally that verse came. Ya ayyuha rasul balligh ma unzila ilayk. O the Prophet, you know, explain, tell them what have been revealed to you, which is the declaration of Ghadir. And if you do not do so, ma ballaghta risalat. If you do not do, it is as if you haven't fulfilled the risalat. So everything of deen, of risalat, of tawheed, sits on imamat and wilayat. Deen, Allahumma salli. Without wilayat, without imamat, deen is incomplete. Then the verse came. After that, he raised Amirul Mu'mineen, he announced and he declared, the verse of the Quran came, Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenukum. This is the day that the religion have been perfected. Now, why was it Prophet not announcing? Because he was afraid that people might think something. It was very similar to that miracle of Moses, that when Musa alayhi salam throws that staff, it turns into python. And people thought, or Pharaoh, or people thought that it was a magic, it was a sorcery. Then Hazrat Musa alayhi salam was asked to do so. Do not be afraid, you go ahead and do so. People will not think that this is magic. Allah will take care of that. Allah will take care of that. And it happened. You know, only those who were the sorcerers, those magicians, they say that this is not magic. They accepted that as a miracle. They had that knowledge. They had that insight. They were aware of it. And they accepted the haq and truth. And those who were Fir'aun and Fir'auniyun, they rejected that miracle. They rejected which Prophet Moses have to give. Here, the same way, the Prophet was afraid that if he announced or if he declared his son-in-law to be the leader, people might think that, oh, this is something a kingship or Prophet is favoring. And here Allah says that, you know, O Rasul, you have to explain, you have to declare it. And what you are afraid of, you know, we are aware of it and we'll take care of it. And those who are plotting, because the message of Ghadir was so important that the munafiqeen, those who were hypocrites, those who have just converted to Islam just for the namesake, they were plotting against the Prophet and against Deen of Islam. But once the declaration of Ghadir takes place, then the ayah in continuation, Ya ayyuha rasul balligh ma unzila ilayk, mentions that, you know, they became hopeless in the Deen. They were plotting, but they became hopeless that they will not be able to do anything against the deen. Now that Amirul Mu'mineen and his wilayat have been declared. And, O Prophet, Allah is the protector of you. Don't worry about it. It will not happen. Allah will protect you. And now going back onto the Sermon of Ghadir. The Sermon of Ghadir announces the wilayat of Amirul Mu'mineen. Not only that, the Sermon of Ghadir mentions about all of the Imams, even Imam al-Asr, Imam al-Hujja, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Where in the Sermon of Ghadir, Prophet mentions the 12th Imam. And he mentions about the occultation of the 12th Imam. He mentions that he is the one who will establish the adalat and justice. So the Sermon of Ghadir contains that. The Sermon of Ghadir contains the names of all of the Imams. It contains all of the Imam. When it was asked to Siddiqa Kubra, she mentions this, that all of the children of the Prophet, the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, they've been mentioned in the Sermon of Ghadir. The Prophet, the last sermon that he gave, he mentioned all of this. And then he even mentions in this that those who reject this, their place is in hell. Those who reject the wilayat, those who reject the imamat, their place is not in Jannah, their place is not with the Prophet. While doing so, after that, you have where Prophet placed a canopy and there he stayed there so that people come and pay allegiance to Amirul Mumineen. One of the incident, the miraculous incident that happened, was a person who came and he rejected or he questioned that what you're saying, O Prophet, is it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it from you? And then he challenged, he says, if this is from Allah, let there be a stone come from the heaven and take my life away. As soon as he mentioned that, the stone comes from the heaven, it hits his head and he dies. Allahumma salli ala. Finally, as alhamdulillah, it was a very, you know, beautiful poetry, and we all had, you know, good food. Alhamdulillah, we are celebrating the Eid al-Ghadir. Everybody is present here. It's a weekend. It's okay. We went a bit over in time. Seeing and meeting each other as well, it's a great joy that brings. And as we also celebrated the birth of our 10th Imam. One of his hadith is that, you know, do not talk about those things which will bring about differences among you. Speak about those things with each other which will bring love among you. So what could bring love other than the speaking of the zikr of no one but Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam? As is the birth of the 10th Imam as well, every Imam, as we mentioned, whether that be our joyous occasion or whether that be our sorrow and sad occasion. Sad and sorrow occasion have given life to Deen, have given life to Islam. Our joyous occasion as well have given life to Islam. Imam Hadi alayhi salam, who one of his miracles, how he saved the Quran, Al-Kindi, was known to be the philosopher of his time. He has written a treatise on the contradictions in the Quran. Al-Kindi, who was responsible of translating Greek philosophies, many of his work he has dedicated to Mutawakkil, to the Khalifa. Known, the first Islamic philosopher is known as Kindi. He is the first Islamic philosopher. And one of the books that he has prepared is Ikhtilaf, is contradictions in the Quran. And nobody was there to challenge it. Imagine him being known as the first philosopher, writing a book or leaving behind a book called Contradictions in the Quran. A great philosopher, a first Islamic philosopher, have written a book in history, is his Contradiction in the Quran. Without any scholars from the Islamic scholastics, from the Islamic scholars, mentioning about the ikhtilaf of the Quran, we have people talking about the ikhtilaf of the Quran, the Orientalist. Imagine if they had a reference from a philosopher like Kindi, that he also have talked about contradiction in the Quran, There Imam Hadi alayhi salam mentions to one of his students that you go to Kindi and ask him this question, that there could be certain verses that you haven't understood. And you are seeing that it's to be, you know, being contradictory. There it strikes to him, where did you get this question from? It is not from you, because I know you very well. Then he says it's from no one but Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam. And there he destroys that work that he has prepared called Ikhtilaf or Contradictions in the Quran. And this saved the Quran. The Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, they always save the Quran. They always save that deen. That's where in the Ghadir, the Prophet mentions that if you leave the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, there will be ikhtilaf. You will go away from the Quran. If they would have accepted that wilayat, the problems the Muslim Ummah is facing today, it will not happen. The leadership would be there. And now, finally, I would say the leadership is the day of the celebration of wilayat. Wilayat, as a metaphysical reality, is known as leadership, right? Although it is the leadership of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But as in principle, it is the celebration of leadership. And the key and the essential aspect of leadership is justice, is adalat. And that was seen in Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? So therefore, as it is a celebration of leadership, and we all are leaders of our own sort of, you know, vicinities or houses or communities, we play that role in workplace, maybe in house. We have the wilayat, right? The father have that wilayat. The husband have that wilayat, right? The community leader have that wilayat. The boss have that wilayat. So it's the Eid of wilayat. And the essential aspect of this wilayat is adalat, is justice. So we've got to be very careful. If something is given to us, some position of wilayat, of leadership, whether that be in a house as a husband, or as a father, or as a community leader, or as running a charity, for example, we have to execute justice. There could be certain things in our ikhtiyar, in our choice. Are we correctfully utilizing this or not? I have that ikhtiyar, that money, or that property. You know, I am the present president right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Mustafa by here. No, there's nothing to do with that, but I'm just pointing out. I'm that. I have that ikhtiyar. Am I really executing it properly or not? Otherwise, I will be questionable. Adalat is very important. I have Sami Sadat. I have Sami Imam. I have this money with me. Am I really executing it properly or not? Adalat is very important. If I am a believer of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I should make sure that each and everything that is under my reign, I should execute that with adalat. I am the head doctor or whatever in the hospital, for example, whatever that may be the case. So justice is very important. It's a celebration of the phenomena of leadership. Indeed, it's a celebration of, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen at the same time. So we have to keep in mind that why we are celebrating it and what were those desires of our Hazrat Amir. What were those desires of the Imam and Masumin alayhi salam? And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we bring a change in our life, in our community, in our families by paying attention to these principles, to these teachings. And we teach our children. It's very important that as this message of Ghadir, as the Prophet have mentioned, you know, that it should go generation to generation. We have to pass on to our children the message of Imamat, the message of Wilayat, how important it is and how important it is to gather in such a occasion and celebrate and enjoy, as it has been mentioned, that wherever you are, another hadith from our 10th Imam, wherever you are on the day of Ghadir, make sure that you have a gathering. Make sure that you are together and you celebrate and you emphasize and you remind of the famous tradition, I would say here, Man kuntu mawla fahaza aliyun. Allahum salli ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم نور ظاهري بطاعتك وباطني بمحبتك وقلبي بمعرفتك وروحي بمشاهدتك وسر الاستغلال اتصالي بحضرتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام وأئمة المعصومين عليه السلام صلوات الله محمد وعلى محمد. توجه زيارة. السلام عليك يا رسول الله، السلام عليك يا نبي الله، السلام عليك يا خير خلق الله وخاتم النبيين، السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب، السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين،
السلام عليك يا خديجة الكبرى أم المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا أبا محمد حسن المشتبى، السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين وتسة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين، السلام على الحسين all together، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين، بالخصوص سيدي ومولاي أبو الفضل العباس بن أمير المؤمنين وأختك زينب وأم كلثوم وبنتك رقية وسكينة ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك علي زين العابدين قرة عين الناظرين. السلام عليك محمد بن علي الباقر الملباد النبي. السلام عليك جعفر بن محمد الصادق البار الأمين. السلام عليك يا باب الحوائج الكاظم الطاهر الطهر. السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء يا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان أبا الحسن علي بن موسى الرضا. كن شفينا وشفي والدينا في يوم الجزاء وأختك المعصومة ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك إمام الجواد، السلام عليك إمام الحادي النقي، السلام عليك يا أبا محمد حسن العسكري، السلام عليك يا حجة القائم المنتظر المهدي. عجل الله لك فرج واجعلنا من آوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يدي ورحمة الله وبركاته.
برويك داو يا مسكين برويك داو يا مسكين در خانه علی زن که نگین پادشاهی داد از کرم گدا را ان الله و ملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایها الذین آمنوا صلوا علیه و سلموا تسلیما.